Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In the history of Dodger Stadium, there have been 19 total rainouts. Hi, I'm Dave Roberts, and last year's rain was one for the books, and it was LA County's best for capturing that rain. Over 200 billion gallons of storm water was captured, enough for 5 million people, or enough water to cover attendance at 89 sold-out home games. LA County works hard to ensure a safe, clean, reliable water future. Find out more at waterforla.com.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you. Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year. Happy 2018. We did it. We made it. We're here, or at least day one into it. I spent my holiday. I was in Philadelphia, New York. The first night I got there, met up with my dad and my sister and my nephews were sick the previous week, but I still got sick. Next day, I had like a stomach flu or stomach bug, and I was out of commission for almost 2 days, just sleeping most of the day, not eating, which I guess is kind of good because for 2 or 3 days, I wasn't shoveling as much food in as I usually am. So I guess that was one benefit, but it kind of put a wrench in the works as far as my trip, but got to see my family, headed to New York, and then I flew and met my wife, Michelle. I met her in Vegas, and I saw the Misfits Alkaline Trio Fear show, which is really good. I don't know if you are familiar with the Misfits, but they are a legendary band, and this is like kind of the closest you're going to get to an actual reunion. I mean, Dave Lombardo from Slayer played drums. They didn't use one of their many drummers, but I feel like he's somebody who's so versatile that he can probably play everything and probably take him about 10 minutes to learn their whole library. So that was fun. Back in LA and excited about this. Excited. I wanted the first episode of the new year to be positive. Not that they're not positive, but I wanted this one to be what I consider something that I felt positive about kind of going into it. It's not too heavy, but it's an interview that I've wanted to put up for a while. It was just a matter of scheduling, which I've talked about. That's why I'm doing every other week now until I can figure out everyone's scheduling, because it's all based on the Friends part of the Friends Without Benefits. So if I don't have the Friends, then it's just me talking, and I'm not that interesting. I don't have that much going on, to be totally honest with you, to do an episode every week, unless I can think of something format-wise to do that. But my friend Keith Coogan, who, if you're not familiar with Keith, he's a really great guy, most importantly, successful actor, working actor for a long time. You may know him best for Adventures in Babysitting and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. That's some really iconic roles for him. But we became friends a couple of years ago. He was in one of my YouTube videos, and we've kept in touch. I went to his housewarming party, and I've just always wanted to talk to him about what it's like to be him. When I was younger, living in New York, and I'd watch, say, Adventures in Babysitting, the world of watching movie magic was really magic for me, because I was like, oh, these people, this is an outside looking in thing. I will never cross paths with these actual people because I'm meant to be here. They are meant to be there. But, you know, you come to a place like Los Angeles and you meet people and you have things in common. And it's just very, very interesting that years later paths can cross. You never really know. You never know. Like, for you to say, oh, this will never happen. I mean, this is not like a mind-bending experience in the sense of like, how is this possibly going to happen? But for someone like me who really found a lot of magic in movies and television, and I've met, living in Los Angeles, I've met a lot of people and I've worked with a lot of people, random people that I was like, I've watched you on TV and in movies and have been a fan of yours. And now I'm like, we're discussing things as far as like making and making stuff. And, you know, I'm in a few movies coming out in 2018 that I'm really excited about. I'm in very briefly a movie called Funny Story that will be at Slam Dance at the Sundance Film Festival towards the middle or end of the month. It's really exciting. A lot of really good people. And I saw a cut of it and it was great. I wish more of my scenes were in it. That might be biased. But I guess the other 90, you know, 7% of the movie is good too. And then, like I said, Wrapped on the Thinning, New World Order, then I'm in a little bit more, and that'll be coming out in 2018. Very excited about those two things, and hopefully more stuff. I'm doing a stand-up show. I'm going back to the Sycamore Tavern for the Rebels of Comedy, January 6th, 8 p.m. in Hollywood. Very excited about that. Excited about 2018. I made a comment on Twitter about, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to make 2018 my bitch, try being a better person. And I'm not usually preachy. Like, it's not my thing to tell you how to act. But I feel like the same people that say they're going to make that year their bitch end up complaining all year. And there they are at the end of the year. And I was like, maybe instead of saying, having that be your attitude, just try to be better, whatever better is. And sometimes for me, it's like, I can't always be a better person. But you know what I can do? I could be less of a crappy person. I could do less harm in whatever that is. So even if you can't outwardly do better or be better, just be less shitty. That's kind of how I see it, because really I'm not one to talk about anything. I have whatever people are complaining about, the same thing is going on in my head, sometimes worse, sometimes not as bad, but I try to put less of it out there and I just try to work on my own stuff. If I'm working on my own stuff, it's not even just like for me, it's because people have to deal with me. That's the thing. It's like if you want to take time and make yourself a better person, even if you don't want to do it for yourself, people have to deal with you, whether it's work or your family or relationships or the person that you know, that you come in contact with. They might have had a bad day. You have a bad day. This is easier said than done all the time, because sometimes, you know what? There's no changing my mind. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood and that's it, and I'm going to be a dick. But what I try to do is try to every day be a little bit of a better person, or at least try to be less of a shitty person. I don't know. I think that's all I can add. I don't have any New Year's resolutions. I'm always working on the same stuff. It's really all the same thing. And I know people like a fresh start, and I get that. I psychologically, that's great. And but for me, it's just like, I'm just going to do more of the same thing. Sadly, it'll be only half the podcast until I sort out the scheduling thing, but you know they're all going to be quality, right? Right? Well, I'm excited about this one. I purposely put it as the first one of 2018. I think it's cool that if you're listening to this today or whenever you're listening to this, that we're kind of sharing New Year's Day 2018 together. And I can't think of a person that I'd want to also share with it than my good friend Keith Coogan.
My radio voice. Thank you. And then when I talk animatedly, it goes up into this kind of Uncle Fester register. Yeah. Shoot him in the back, Morticia.
Yeah.
Terrible.
What can't you do, though? sing, dance.
Just those little things. You know, I was thinking, I looked on Facebook, which is the thing that pretty much archives everything. And I think we hit our 5-year Facebook anniversary, friendship anniversary.
I had terrible cell service and I couldn't watch the video and, of, you know, the various photos over the years.
Yeah. So happy anniversary.
Happy friendiversary.
Happy friendiversary, yeah. You actually have a anniversary.
We just had our fourth wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got married earlier this year, too.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. About to hit my 1-year anniversary. Oh, look at us guys. Just talking about the wives. But yeah, the last time I saw you, I went to your housewarming party.
Yeah, thank you.
You still there?
Yeah, still there. Love it.
It's the coolest. Is it more... It's like it's cool and it's got like a hip, cool thing that's definitely you both. But has it gotten more you? Because there's a lot of things.
The wall of Keith is relegated to the back office.
Okay, cool.
But there's still, you know, you can't help. There's the Jackie Coogan stuff. I think we might have added a big kid poster that we got since then.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it's very cool.
Flamingos go in the kitchen area. There's an 80s wall that's pretty cool. I'm included in the 80s wall.
Yeah, of course. But you know, you're included in every decade wall for me there. I don't have. I mean, I just have walls that are just, they're just there that will outlive me. And that's all I have. and then we first kind of met sort of, or at least I met you. You didn't meet me. Is when you were doing a podcast and I was doing a thing on Playboy Radio. You were just using it as a space. You were doing you were either on a show. I don't know if you were hosting it.
I had the call sheet, Tales of the Bone Machine, which was on Skid Row Studios Network.
Okay.
And they let us guest at the Playboy Studios.
Right.
And I brought a ragtag team of former child stars to talk about the sexiest things they could on Playboy.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's kind of like in that dad mode now, you know what I mean? So it's the sexiness is, I don't know. No, it goes up. The sexiness goes up, I think. And then I was like, oh, this is so cool. I was like, I do, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'd love to, you know, see. And I was doing a lot of YouTube then, which I still am. And then we did a YouTube video together.
And that was so amazingly fun.
Yeah, that was super fun.
I got to go and get the little pass.
Uh-huh.
And they do a full background check on you.
Yeah.
And go to the YouTube studios down in Marina Del Rey.
Yep.
And it blew me away, the facility that they had and all of the spaces that they had. And we used just a modest office set. An office is an office set. And I love the piece. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for being
in
it.
Thank you for including me. You had such a great cast. Everybody that was in that was so creative and fun. It was great to watch you direct. And
they all went on to be in Stranger Things. I'm kidding. It's the most popular thing out there. I'm just going to say. I always like to say everyone went on to be like Barack Obama or, you know.
Stranger Things.
Things, yeah. Everything's hashtag Stranger Things. So I want to kind of go back because I don't really know. Like, I remember we talked in a car ride for a while kind of about like – what you're doing in your life and where you're from, but I want to go a little as deep as we can. Where are you from originally?
From Southern California.
Born
in Palm Springs.
Okay.
Did some time in Sacramento till I was about 4, maybe 5 years old. And then came to L.A. I wanted to be on TV. I saw kids having fun on Sesame Street, Electric Company, Zoom, Via Alegre, which was like a Spanish version of Newsroom Review, all of those shows. I saw kids that were having fun on TV, and I was basically raised kind of white trash.
Yeah, no, I can.
If you have a Studebaker with no doors up on blocks, and you're shooting at cans with a .22 rifle in the middle of 2 blocks from American River College in Sacramento, you may be white trash.
Yeah, was it a thing where you were like, I want to have fun, or is it I want to be on TV, or is it just like both happening at the same time?
TV was a big part of, because PBS had really rolled in, and Sesame Street was quite new. I think that came out. I was 2 or 3 years old, and that helped me read. I learned to read from Electric Company and Sesame Street. No joke.
I remember both of those. Remember Magic Garden?
What was Magic Garden?
Oh, see, Magic Garden was two like kind of hippie women, and they were in a magic garden, and then they had like, I think it's the, I don't know which one they had the mirror. No, that might be something else. But they were all those things like Sesame Street. I think they were all shot in like Pennsylvania.
And Mr. Rogers had a huge impact because it would go into the fantasy land. And, and also they would teach us something about civics or a local government building in your town.
Yeah, like you learn something. Now it's like, I don't want to learn anything. And then it's like, oh, this is so much fun. I'm learning. And now it's like, oh, please don't. But then it's like also like I got to go on Wikipedia and look up everything. So I think it's like a back and forth with wanting to – consume info.
For me, it's Today I Learned on Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
And that just, it's amazing. I've written down whole movie ideas.
Based on the, because the best ideas are already out there.
There was a chunk of land between New York and New Jersey that it was neither. The police didn't cover, and duels were held there over decades. Hundreds of duels would be held
there.
What
is it now? Is it New Jersey or New York?
A dump? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I know it's a dump.
Syphilis Island.
So I'm from New Jersey originally. Like, I know. No, I love New Jersey. Shout out to New Jersey and everyone listening from New Jersey. Palm Springs, I've never been to Palm Springs. Everyone I've known has been to Palm Springs, and everyone's like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. How did your family get to Palm Springs?
So my grandfather had retired to Palm Springs.
Okay.
And he could still come into town when he had jobs.
And he is, your grandfather is?
My grandfather is Jackie Coogan.
Who you may have heard of.
The world's first film child star. And he was with Chaplin and the Kid. Later, he was Uncle Fester on the original Addams Family. And a interesting life as well as career between those benchmarks.
So when you – do you remember living there, or were you pretty much – you went to Sacramento?
Oh, I remember. Some of my earliest memories were in Palm Springs. Yeah. Sure, sure.
Because Palm Springs has a lot of history with Hollywood, people living there. This is from what I'm told because I've never been there.
Oh, there were. People would ask for Jackie Coogan's house, and they'd send them to Jackie Cooper's house.
Okay. And they're like, well, you know what? I'm getting something.
Oh, yeah. Go right down Racquet Club. Hang a left.
So what? When you're in Sacramento, when you were like, I want to go to L.A., what was that like? I guess how does that conversation
go? Interesting. I was kind of separate. My mom was living up in Sacramento going to school for behavior modification and child psychology. I was raised.
She had you figured out. Then.
I was raised in a Skinner box. Okay, I had all check mark sheets and gold stars and pennies. At one point, we were paying me to do my chores in pennies. And then when that didn't work, she beat me, you know, severely. So that was always
it. Listen, you know, it's we get there.
She knew
somewhere.
How to parent. Spare the rod, spoil the child to death. I'll take away your iPad. Oh my God, I can't believe today's kids.
Yeah.
And my mom, I was kind of separated from the whole Jackie Coogan thing. Had no idea how we were living. We had welfare coming, and like you know, I had Salvation Army toys at that point. And I said, want to go to L.A. And my mom picked up. We came down. And through a weird quirk, she was looking for a place, cheap, whatever, in the valley, who knows. And she saw a ad for a place in Malibu for the same amount. But it was a tennis change room. So there's a big, huge house, and then there's a little back area that just has no kitchen, just a bathroom, and, like, you could put a hot plate on the thing.
You could definitely change in there.
So we moved right into there, and got an agent, read for – it was her childhood agent.
Okay.
She didn't like taking direction. So she was like doing a Bosco commercial and was like, I like Hershey better. And they're like, get this girl off the set. So she introduced me to him, and I could cold read at 5 years old and pay attention. And
thank you, Electric Company.
There was no acting required for a kid. Just behave.
Yeah.
Don't pick your nose or touch anything and stand there and say your lines.
I was like, oh, you're Jackie Coogan's grandkid. Was there any of that?
Yes.
Like, okay.
So he goes, great. I can't wait to get him out. He's going to go out immediately. We'll get headshots, da-da-da. My, like, mom had taken headshots with her camera. And he goes, I can't wait to tell, you know, casting directors that, you know, this is Jackie Coogan's grandson. And my mom said, oh, no. He's going to act under his birth name, Keith Mitchell, because the worst thing for an actor is to know how or why they got the part or if they deserve it. And so he's Keith Mitchell, and you can't say anything about Jack.
Oh, okay.
He said, fine. I did various jobs, wound up on a McDonald's campaign for about 4 commercials, and then continued doing Coast soap and cereals and cars, and did about 65 national commercials. Cool Whip and, you know, Kool-Aid. Everything you can imagine.
And stuff that's still around. It's just like, you know, classic industry of products.
Yeah, they were they did use kids a lot in commercials and a lot more. I worked a lot and then started the episodics. At that point, you get what's called a theatrical, and it was Chips. It was a little, you know, one or two lines on Chips, which...
Hanging out with Eric Estrada.
Absolutely. And everybody. Ponch, John, Bruce Jenner. I watched four episodes of Chips from the first season all the way to the last episode ever shot. And on the last two, I played the same character. So I usually played like different characters every time we came back. But this was, they were trying to spin it off to the Brat Patrol, which was like little mini
Ponches
CHBs.
And John's.
Yeah, running around. And it failed. And John Astin actually directed the last episode of Chips ever.
It's very cool.
And then I did, got in with some producers and started working on, I did a movie of the week with Jenna Rollins, Jane Alexander, Clue Gulager, about a lesbian couple being taken to court by the ex-husband because lesbianism is dark and evil and
crime.
It's an unwholesome house to grow up in. And it was grandpa, it was in the 70s. And then did a series with the same producers in Hawaii with Clue Gulager, a family of five kids, orphaned. But they have to hire a fake uncle,
right,
which is the drunk Clue Gulager down the you know, the next yard in Hawaii. Yeah. And we filmed it in Hawaii and built up a nice working relationship with ABC and did Fantasy Island and Love Boat and Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy and Eight is Enough.
All my
Little House. I did a Waltons for a year. Yeah. I was on the Waltons. We moved in, me and Martha Nix. Played brother and sister that were cousins and moved into the house. It was eighth season, so.
Now, at this time, were you, you know, obviously things are changing for, you know, were you still in the tennis changing room in Malibu?
We moved to a converted porch at first.
And this is a step up.
This is, yeah, this is in old Topanga Road, which was on the other side of Topanga Creek. And then we moved into a one bedroom above the toy store. In Malibu, right by the Malibu Pier. There's, you know, the guy typically holding a hamburger or like a big taco or something like that. Lived right next to that.
Okay.
Like, next to a Foster's Freeze and above a toy store. That was heaven. And that's where I got the Waltons. And then we moved into a five-bedroom house in Malibu.
It sounds
in,
like exponentially.
Malibu West.
Yeah.
And
how old are you at this point? Like when, you know, we were...
I was nine or 10 when I signed the deed on the house.
Yeah. Buying a house at 10,
And going to public school the whole time. So you go to public school, and then you go to the set, and you have a private teacher for 3 hours a day.
Did anyone treat you differently, or did they know?
No,
was
it was Malibu. Nobody gave a crap.
Everyone was kind of somebody's somebody.
Yep.
Yeah. Did it change? Did you still have the thing where you were like, I want to have fun, I want to be on TV, or did it also become like, oh, this is like a young age, this is a business, or this changes.
There was always the choice. If something like The Shining came along, and I was like, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Go to the beach. Great. You don't have to go. Like, you know, there could be a, it doesn't have to be everything in your life. When you're doing it, you give your all.
Right.
But it can't be that that's everything you have.
So you weren't under any pressure to like say yes to everything or make sure you always had.
Well, you
job.
Always say yes to everything.
Well, I do. I mean, I do. But I thought maybe you're at a point where you're like, you know what? I need to take a summer off or something like that.
Nah, you kind of got it. Because if you hadn't moved into movies yet,
yeah.
You were stuck in TV. Right. So there'd be like movies of the week to do during the summer too. And then kept going up for movies, kept going up for E.T., and Goonies and Gremlins and not booking them. I'm not getting into
these movies. There any of those kind of classic movies at that point where you were like really close? Like, oh, I was almost blank.
Oh, A Christmas Story, Stand By Me. Well, you're in a room with 5 to 7 of the other kids that are all getting cast at the time.
Sure.
You know, I'm going up for True Romance, and I see Christian Slater at the audition. Yeah. I'm like, well, he's got this. I would cast him in this.
Yeah, like you would be like, no. But
there are the times where you walk into an audition, you see all the other guys, and they see you, and they go, oh, crap, Coopin's here.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
Yeah, no, sometimes it's you and sometimes it's them.
Yeah,
you know,
there was plenty of work to go around. There was probably 40, 50 kids, all of about the same age, and boys and girls. So you'd have in your age range and your type, good guy, bad guy, bully or whatever, you'd always have a good 5 or 6 others that it could go down. And that kept prices low, right. So nobody could go crazy and corner the market on a type. The last thing you wanted was to get typecast, which today is being called branded.
Yeah, what's your brand? Yeah, it's very important. Got to have your brand.
No, it's a big deal to be diverse because they're like, you don't want to be pigeonholed or only known for being, you know, Potsy or something like that.
Yeah. But now it's like, I'll be Potsy.
And Potsy, he's a great performer.
Yeah, love Potsy.
Fantastic singer.
Love Ralph Mouth. Love Potsy. Talking about Happy Days, everybody. Try to keep up. So there's a thing where you're like, you're in TV, but the goal is movies, to get out of TV and into movies.
Yes, and the casting director is saying, no, he's too TV and he can't go. And we didn't have Bruce Willis in Moonlighting and those examples of a big, thunderous movie star that could also do TV, a Tom Hanks or whatever.
Yeah. So what was the parlay into movies? What was your first parlay into movies?
Really, The Fox and the Hound. I was about 8, maybe 9 years old, and really just recorded alone at a mic every 6 months or so. And so that really, that didn't count as my first feature.
Right, because it's just VO.
Yeah, it's just VO.
Just VO, like we're doing right now. What was your first on-screen
Adventures movie? In Babysitting.
Oh, that little movie. Adventures
a little film called Adventures of Baby, which was such a great experience to work on and also a great launching pad to continue doing fun, similar, teen-oriented movies. And got to grow up doing it till about 22, 23, and then moved into the B-movies and the art films and then new media comes along.
Sure, yeah.
And so you work yourself this way. You go broader, you know.
Yeah, you go sideways.
You go sideways. Toy Soldiers and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Yeah. I even went to Africa and did a movie called The Cheetah. Cousins, Hiding Out with John Cryer.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
So many fun films and great people that I got to work with.
You take me as the consumer as a kid, and you know, we're similar age, you know what I mean? So I was watching somebody kind of my own age, and I'm watching, and I'm like, wow, like I was living in like upstate New York, New Jersey, or wherever I was living, and I remember watching it and being like, what must it like to be that person in this movie, like what their life must be like? And then, you know, I moved to a place like Los Angeles, which is, I was always somebody who was like, I'm outside looking in, and then you come here and you're like, there's people and you could meet them and they're just everyone are just people like doing cool stuff. So I thought it was just very cool. When we met, I was like, oh, you're somebody that I watched. And I'm sure you get this a lot. It's not the first time you've heard this. And then, you know, get to like work together. And that's how the world is now. You know, it's very if you have something to offer somebody, I guess, if you're actually doing something. So Adventures in Babysitting and Don't Tell Me Babysitter's Dead. I mean, Hiding Out, though, John Cryer was undercover or witness protection or something like that.
He was like a stockbroker that did some shady bonds for the mob.
That.
He had to go on the run, and he streaked his hair and pretended to be a high school senior and run for class president.
Yeah.
And then they find out the girl who was like 15 maybe in the movie. It was kind of – but they handled it well.
Yeah.
Because he handles it well. He's no.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah.
and then it was a weird mix of thriller and comedy, and Bob Giraldi directed it. It was his directorial debut. He was the man who set fire to Michael Jackson's hair on the Pepsi commercial.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't literally say, here's some fire on your hair.
Yeah.
And that was a De Laurentiis picture.
Yeah.
De Laurentiis Entertainment Group. So we had hour and a half lunches with nice soups and a bisque.
Oh, nice.
Antipasta.
Yeah. What did you have like a, you know, because I, you know, the people kind of ran in packs. Like, did you have like a pack of like actors that you hung out with, like your people, and you would hang out and like hit the clubs? I don't know. Did you have your people?
You would definitely see the same crowd here and there. I didn't really go clubbing until, you know, appropriate age.
Of course.
I never had the fake ID and all that other stuff.
Weren't in a rush to...
But there were all ages clubs and stuff. And there are plenty of premieres and parties and award shows to see the same group of actors and actresses.
Who were your, like, BFFs, I guess, to use the modern clip. Who were your friends? Who like were the people that you hung out with, like back like then?
My BFF.
Yeah. I'm trying to relate to a lot of different people.
Really close friends, and had so much fun in that time with like Scott Grimes, or Chris Young from PCU, and Max Headroom, with Gabe Jarrett, who I grew up with since we met in first grade in Malibu. And Gabe's dad wrote Every Which Way But Loose.
Okay, yeah.
And directed Going Ape, which is one of the finest ape chase movies I think ever made. And Gabe was Mitch in Real Genius.
Yes. I remember real genius. Val Kilmer and
just having fun. The Feldman and Haim.
Yeah.
Would see River Phoenix here and there, especially auditions. River was always coming and getting, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Serious. You're like, oh crap, River's here.
Yeah.
Kirk Cameron would be out and about, and Jeremy Miller, of course. Yeah, Ben Seaver, on Growing Pains.
And you're still friends with him now?
Yeah. I love Jeremy. Yeah.
I think I saw him at your party.
Yeah.
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 I guess it's kind of like a little sideways. So when you're kind of hanging out with like other people that are, you know, still in the business or were in the business, does the conversation always kind of like, I mean, I talk about things with people that I was friends with, jobs we used to have. So I just wondered, do you talk a lot about like stuff you did? It's like, oh, remember that time we were in that car chase in that movie?
It would be NHL on Genesis, Sega. It would be where the broken meters are in Westwood.
Right.
Which back alley to take in Santa Monica to
traffic? Right, like a lot of traffic
really,
based stuff.
A lot of LA. Which page are you in the Thomas Guide was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
42 or 113?
Yeah,
are you down?
I remember the Thomas Guide.
You're on 46. Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
What do you pay for rent?
Yeah.
That was a big deal where you were on the. See, the Thomas Guide, for our younger listeners, you had a huge 14 by 16 inch. 500 page.
You know, there are some things I prefer to buy online, but there are others that are much better purchased in person. Sensual adult items being one of them. I love shopping at Romantics. It's empowering, educational, and fun. Every visit is an adventure. I never know what I might come home with. A new sensual luxury massager, some gorgeous lingerie, or even a thoughtful gift for a friend or a lover. Elevate your sex life with help from Romantics. Stop by your local Romantics today.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
Kick off 90 years of racing at Santa Anita Park with opening day, with huge fields and pools on December 26th. Get on track for experiences like Beer Festival Trackside with live music, Whiskey in Winter in the Chandelier Room, and Winter Family Fun Zone in the infield. The Great Race Place is racing Friday through Sunday through June with an action-packed event calendar and millions of payouts each race day. Choose your experience at santaanita.com/events. We'll see you at the races.
You know, there are some things I prefer to buy online, but there are others that are much better purchased in person. Sensual adult items being one of them. I love shopping at Romantics. It's empowering, educational, and fun. Every visit is an adventure. I never know what I might come home with. A new sensual luxury massager, some gorgeous lingerie, or even a thoughtful gift for a friend or a lover. Elevate your sex life with help from Romantics. Stop by your local Romantics today.
Ah, the most wonderful time of the year. Although, let's be honest, around the holidays, things really add up. But here's the good news. Only at Verizon, you can get a single line for $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So, while ice skating for two is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. Gifts for your third cousins? Steep. A single line with Verizon? Not so steep. A real tree? Pricey. A single line with Verizon? Less pricey. Flights to see Meemaw and Pops? Those are up. A $50 per month single line? That's down. Even a trip to the Los Angeles Holiday Market will cost you more. But with Verizon, you can switch and bring your phone for just $50.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
$50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. All this to say, during the holiday season, when everything is costing more, you can get more for less right now at a local Verizon store. $15 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Just Food for Dogs, we focus on just that, food for dogs. And with the holidays around the corner, don't forget that your furry family members need presents too. So get the best for your best friend, the gift of flavorful, healthy food from Just Food for Dogs. A healthier diet means more holidays together. And right now, make the holidays special with 50% off your first subscription today by shopping at justfoodfordogs.com. More life, more years, more love.
Home that had every map, street, alley, and fire
and you had to match
break
them
in
like,
Los Angeles.
It's like L1, and you'd match it on the thing. And now GPS, it's like, you made me go an extra 30 seconds, GPS. I hate you. And it's like, try using a Thomas guide.
They said there's a whole generation that does not know the experience of being lost.
Yeah.
I used to deliver pizza. I don't know where I am. Yeah. I'm lost. I can't figure it out.
I have to ask for directions. Do
it's
I have a quarter?
That side of the bridge. Yeah.
Quarter for the payphone. I used to deliver pizza, so I remember being like, oh, I gotta press the
There's a lot with
guide.
Parking. Will there be parking? Do we have to pay for parking? How far away is the parking?
That's still
Is
no,
there
that's
valet?
Now.
Is it complimentary valet? How much do I tip the valet?
Yeah. Those are still woes now.
What am I gonna clean out of my car before I hand it to the valet?
So let's go. Okay, so we'll take you to your 20s. So you're still working, doing more movies. Is the business changing? Are you changing? Is anything changing? Or you're just like, I'm just working.
I moved into the 90s, so don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. Like, you can smell what week of 1990 that was filmed.
It flannel. You rocking the flannel, the long hair?
The flannel, lot wig.
Yeah, okay.
Very nice wig. Which was
good wig. Great wig.
Great wig. Yeah. $3,000 a piece. They had two. They had a backup wig.
Yeah.
And they went. I took the life cast. I went out to Wigs by Ziggy in Burbank.
Okay.
And he'd been in the business for years. He was retiring. This was one of his last movies.
Yeah.
And I look up and I see a picture of my grandfather on the wall. Like, why? What is this, Jackie? What's going on with Jackie? And he goes, oh, I did some PR wig toupees for him. His PR said he needed to wear some wigs when you're going around town, Jack. And so I had the Kenny wig actually also did some toupees for my grandfather.
Wow. It all comes around. Oh, I would have, when I was watching that, I was like, that's his hair. You got me. Hollywood got me.
It has this lace. It just disappears. And they shaved my hairline a little bit, about a half inch.
Yeah.
And so that they could put that wig over and the hairline could be there. And it does. It holds up in close-ups. There's a few where we got the B wig. The other one would be being cleaned.
Right.
And you can see a little wrinkle maybe in my hairline, but it's
but no
a
one
tough
else could
spot.
Notice that,
no, but it was like 110 degrees in Valencia when we were shooting it.
Yes.
And I'm wearing leather jackets and jeans.
Of course.
That was nice.
You're wearing your 1990 clothing.
Oh, the Megadeth.
Sure,
you
love to rock.
Someone, one of my fans goes, you know, in movies, there would be characters that listen to metal. He goes, but Kenny listened to good metal.
Yeah, Megadeth is good. Good, you know, it's not like you had a
Slayer.
Slayer,
good
stuff.
Good stuff.
Good, I mean, Megadeth's from the area.
Even Metallica. Man,
yeah, why not?
Black Album, dude.
So as you're going through the 90s, because the 90s, and my wife, you know, is from Canada, but she grew up in L.A. Her mom's in the business, in the agency business and stuff like that. So she was ingrained in it all. So I'm always curious about the timeline of what Los Angeles was like or Southern California was like through the decades. Obviously, the 90s, there's, you know, a lot of racial tension and Rodney King and all that kind of stuff. But what was going on in the business for you or what was going on in L.A. at the time?
There were 6 or 7 known set studios. There were 5 to 10 good top agents outside of ICM and Triad and William Morris. You always be careful with going with them because one day they just dropped Gina Davis.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, we dropped her. And it was well after Cutthroat Island.
Yeah.
They just went one day, they go, no. And I'm like, if they cut Gina Davis, think they give a crap about Keith Coogan? Yeah. You know, you're not on fire for 2 years. And they're like, thank you, you're done. So you find someone mid-level, really the agents that do all the work in the town. Then they do all the submissions and they build all the relationships with all the casting directors and producers. So a turning point I do want to say, and I went for any viewer doing this or for your curiosity, how do you turn from TV to film? Because Moonlighting didn't come around at that time. And then it was a little more, you go where the material was. high school theater. For me, I went to Santa Monica High School, SAMO High, and we had just got a new, that was terrible English, a new theater teacher who had come from Beverly Hills High. And he's working with a $200,000 budget back at Beverly Hills High. And he gets here and there's a $600 budget. And we did Grease and played Again, Sam. You Can't Take It With You. And we did Henry IV. I don't know, some crap. Anyway, some Shakespeare crap. And it was, I learned preparation techniques. I learned how to act. I had learned previous to that from being on sets and a lot of the 70s
show. You didn't have formal acting training.
No, but you're learning from so many great classic actors that came up in the golden age of Hollywood. Henry Fonda was one of my first commercials on a ViewMaster viewer commercial, and there's Henry frickin' Fonda.
Yeah.
When's lunch?
Yeah.
And it was it
you
was,
can't get that experience in a classroom situation.
You can't. And you also learn the technical. That was the most important thing, more so than acting, more so than having acting chops. It was, can you make the day? Do you burn time on a set, or do we? And I was one take Mitchell. Come in, you do it, you nail it, you move on. And I just kept watching pros like Don Ameche or anyone I would have had a chance to work with. And that you just don't waste time on a set. You're always ready. You're always prepared. You're a pro, period. And I learned that early, 7, 8 years old. And when you're doing this and when you're on set, and comedy, I do a lot of comedy, it's serious business.
So, going from theater, kind of like relearning, did that change your point of view of like what you want to do next now that you got this kind of theater, kind of like not relearning the craft, but learning another aspect of the craft to change your...
It literally got me out of, because doing commercials and being on TV, you're very aware of what you're doing and what's being shown, what you're projecting. And yet, right now there's always saying, oh, dude, you're projecting. Stop indicating. That's the greatest. Okay. Stop it. So 70s TV was all about indicating because you have, 36 frames and a really quick take to be like, what you talking about? Yeah. It had certain rhythms that you had to go with. So theater taught me to get totally lose your ego and forget people are watching. And then you go into film, and if you do it confidently enough, you start getting cast. It was really amazing. It was this trick, and it was about preparation, how to get ready to do it. And then also I started to apply that whenever you have an opportunity to stand there and be on a stage, whether it's for one person, two people in a casting, a producer session, or doing it live, or doing it on tape, film, didn't matter. A good actor is a good actor 100% of the time. You bust your nut always, every time, whether it's the first table reading or a rehearsal. You have a chance to be doing this and to be paid to play in a sandbox and make believe. And the industry was not, it's never been welcoming to outsiders. It's always like, no, you can't get in, the door's closed. You have to get an agent. You have to get a sidecar before you get an agent. You have to get work before you get a sidecar before you get an agent. It was this, merry-go-round. Yeah. And now we find it democratized more than it ever has before. My grandfather saw it go from silent film to talkies to TV. I got to see it go from film to digital. That was one of the biggest things I've seen since the mid-90s to now, is the rhythm on the set. The more you're in character all the time on digital. There's no real change. You don't have to cut. Keep going. And back then, you would basically do a whole take, cut, and it was very... everyone knew what the setups were going to be when you walked on the set. There's no Lumacrane. There's no inventive stuff. Maybe there's a dolly shot for like the open, wide, and stupid master. But then you knew what the coverage was going to be, and the over-the-shoulder, and this, and the extreme. You knew it. And now you have people that can tell stories visually that are much more like graphic novels or film and TV mixed, or homages and parodies and satires that are still calling on those old tropes like Stranger Things. And people recognize it instantly. When I first saw Stranger Things first season, I'm like, that's E.T. That's Stand By Me. And just calling it out.
That's
and
Goonies,
I love that
yeah.
We've shortened it. So memes and the memetic device to deliver information, is now film is becoming more memetic.
when you see, you know, there's a lot of, you know.
All right, this is Keith Coogan's film and TV class.
I'm taking it all in, and everyone should be taking note if this is it's something you're interested in or not. It's still valuable in your own life.
So independent film, that's what happened. By 99, we had Clerks, and we saw that you really could do an independent film that people could, you know, saw and got out and got a release and a cult following to. And then the independent film Sex, Lies, and Videotape are on Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. We actually had the same production company, Outlaw Films, that did Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Okay. And so there was a more – the negative pickup existed back then, which is a studio says, go ahead and make your movie. We'll buy it from you for X amount. Say, we'll buy it from you for $10 million. So a producer goes out and tries to figure out how to make it for $5 million, sell it to the studio for $10. The producer's done. Thank you. Good night. We all made our money. Then the studio tries to triple that after, you know, print and advertising and everything.
So independent films was kind of like the world you were in at that point?
It started to boom and I loved it. I started did, I don't know, 20 other films that were of the B grade. Where I did a ski movie, a karate movie, a snake movie, a ghost movie. That's what I kind of call it.
Yeah, I mean, you hit all the, but we always want to see. Always want to, I mean... I'm always down to see a karate movie or the ski movie where it's like the, you know, the rich ski dudes and then the other dude who's like, I don't know, they're just like the competition, the, you know, the girls going out with the cool dude, but the new kid in town. I mean, it's the same.
My tough guy in mine was Lachlan Monroe of all people.
And what's he trying to?
He was in the one with the roommate dying. And it's cool, and you get
okay. Yeah,
and he was in like Unforgiven. He was in a lot of films. Yeah. Getting to work a lot in Canada. I started to go to Vancouver and Toronto a lot, and I shot my ski movie up in Whistler, which was very nice.
Could you ski previous to that?
Yeah, well, no, me, I would step into the boots and you cut to the stunt double.
Then you're like, well, then you just pull off your mask and wipe the snow away, and you're like, well, I did really well, right?
That's my joke. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah. Thank you for finishing my comedic thought.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
That's what I imagine. What's it like to have, for you or in general, to have relationships in, like, in the business when you're working so much and you're meeting so many people? Is it hard to maintain those?
Of course. And a lot of your friends happen to be your competition.
Yeah. You ever fight over a girl?
I used to joke. Even at a young age, people say, all right, we'll see you after. And I go, no, we won't. They go, what? What do you mean? They'd be shocked.
We'll be friends forever.
You're going to go do your project. I'm going to go do another project. We're not going to freaking see each other.
Yeah.
I'll see you at the premiere. You know, we're going to stay in touch. No, we're not. I was a bitch of a kid.
Yeah. But it's true. You know,
I was jaded. By 8, they said 8 going on 40.
It's
like, where's my trailer? What's for coffee? Yeah. Where's the coffee? What's for lunch? When do we wrap?
You had like, you know, the 5-bedroom house. Did you have, I don't really have a scope of like what it
is. Oh, and then a condo in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And then a Ford F-150. I took my babysitter money and I upgraded from the hand-me-down Oldsmobile 1979 Cutlass Supreme Brougham diesel. I upgraded to a nice big Ford F-150. It took 38 gallons of gas, 2 19-gallon gas tanks to fill up this dang thing.
Yeah.
4-speed overdrive, loved this, the beast, I called it, and put speakers in the back, a camper shell, and had parties up and down L.A. It was fun.
Does the stuff change you? Like, having 2-3 homes and, you know,
And the Nighthawks poster with, like, the neon on it, you know,
on
the wall.
Yeah.
And lots of Z Gallery stuff around.
Yeah.
It changes you when you do run out of money and you go, this crap doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you do find there's always been hangers on. My mom was like, watch out, because my grandfather had hangers on, we called them. And just people around a lot, and they're getting something out of this, and you don't necessarily get much out of them, except maybe companionship.
Yeah, they just yes you to
yeah, that. Yeah, that's totally it. And those people move out of your life, and you realize exactly what's important, and your dear friends and family and loved ones.
Yeah, the stuff and the entourage of people don't matter.
No.
And that doesn't change. Although if I ever got in that situation, I had an entourage of people, I'd be like, oh, I love all this validation. Please surround. I want to be insulated by people just telling me yes. That's my goal. it will probably never happen, but I'm going to put it out there right now. So what I also know from just, you know, stalking both you and your wife on Facebook, you meet a lot of people want to meet you. They want to meet you at conventions. They want to meet you.
How fun to go. And
it
I
seems
flip out.
Amazing.
I'm next to, you know, people that I am, you know, grew up with watching, or people that are on, you know, stuff now. That, and you know, I'll wind up at a convention with somebody. I'm like, are they sure they want me at this convention too? Do, you know, can you believe who this is? Like Lee Majors sitting next to me at a convention one time, and I lost my mind. I had a $6 million man lunchbox, for Christ's sake.
Same here. So what? How does that? How does that happen? Like, how does that world happen? How is that something where you're like, oh, I could do this? Like, this is a thing?
It happens from you having a chip on your shoulder and saying conventions. What is that? Standing on a corner and taking $20 here, you know, and whoring yourself out. Yeah. But you do it. And I got convinced by my friend Scott Schwartz, who had organized an autograph show at Highland and Hollywood in the Lowe's. And we went. I went and met my wife. My first autograph convention ever.
Yeah.
And Pinky comes over, and she doesn't know who the hell I am. She's there to get Jeremy Miller and Jeremy Licht and Tracy Gold and people around me. I'm sitting right next to Jeremy Licht from Hogan's Family and the Twilight Zone episode Wishy Into the Cornfield. So her friends are freaking out. I've never done a autograph show before. So they're coming to me, Pinky's friends, with like the Adventures of Babysitting video store cardboard cutouts with like the kids hanging off the rope and laser discs and album VHSs. And she goes, I guess I should get them, because she happens to love 80s and 90s.
She's
pop
a collector,
culture.
Yeah.
And she loves getting selfies. So she comes up and she asks, you know, how much for a selfie? And the rule is, it's, well, everything's $20. You know, an autograph's $20, but it comes with a selfie. So go ahead and get an buy an autograph. Sure. And that's how you keep track of your money, is you just count all of the – that's what somebody told me. Yeah. We don't do that now. Right. We have a whole – me and Pinky merchandise way differently. So anyway, I say – she goes, fine, and she gives me the $20. And I go ahead and stand up to go take the selfie, and I look into her eyes, and she looks into mine. You know all those songs and the silly, sappy movies and those things that say – things like love at first sight.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true, and it absolutely happens.
And you're not – it's not like you're looking for it or expecting it.
I was a little angry. I was like, where have you been? Like, I was like, "This. What do you mean? I had to wait this long in my life until I finally met you?" And I was really attracted to her. I said, so are we going to start making out right now? And she said, what, are you going to charge me?
And you were like, yes, but I'll give you 10%.
That's it. Let's give me
I'll give you 10%
we got
discount.
Engaged a few months later and then married 6 months after that. On my grandfather's birthday. I'm like, I'll never forget October 26th. It's Jackie Coogan's birthday.
Yeah.
Let's do that. It fit into the 6 month projection. I was like, oh, perfect. And then the other day I'm celebrating my anniversary, and I'm like, why is all this Jackie Coogan stuff showing up on my wall right now? And I actually forgot I got married on his birthday.
Yeah.
So she's a huge part of my life.
What is that like when you did your first one?
So I saw what it was like for the fans.
Yeah.
The fans that came up, they were, you know, would lose their mind sometimes. Other people walk by, they go, who? That's, you know, some, they're not your customer.
Sure.
But for some people, that guy in that movie, it could be anybody.
Meant
in
a lot
movie,
to you.
I see people, it's just like you're into Doctor Who, or you're into Star Trek, or you're into Star Wars. And I'm somebody's Doctor Who. And that is really neat. It gives them a great experience. And
you get to meet the people. It's interesting to be like, when you're making these movies, you're not... You can't see out into the audience. So you can't, when you made a movie, you can't see out in the audience or TV. Now you're seeing the people, which is interesting. That's what's changed. You know what I feel like? Everyone knows you. They know everything about you. But you don't know anything about them. But now you have this experience where you can like kind of see who your people are.
Yeah. And they feel like they know you because you've been in their living room.
I feel that
like
from YouTube.
In their bedroom,
yeah. Yeah.
And that they have a familiarity with you. And so that's the, you know, I know that I share that, you know, me getting to work with Lloyd Bridges. Yeah. I'm like, for God's sake, I'm sitting across the table from Lloyd Bridges right now, losing my mind. It's been weeks already and I should have gotten over it. But there's sometimes you don't. I'm a fanboy myself.
And I think being a fan yourself, you know how best, you're on both sides of it, which I think is super important.
So people do ask me, they could say the line. Just say it. Yeah. Say it once. Like, dishes are done, man. All right, fine. Yeah. So me and Pinky were out at a Clockwork Orange screening in Glendale. And not only is Malcolm McDowell there, but Darkest Hour. What's his name?
Oldman?
Yeah, Gary Oldman is the moderator. So we're watching Gary Oldman interview Malcolm McDowell, and he starts talking about, you know, working with Kubrick and, like, the casting process. Kubrick would give him a stack of, like, videotapes, and it's just tits. Sorry, can I say that on your podcast?
Oh, yeah.
It's just titties.
And it's required,
and the cameraman didn't film it from, just filmed it from the chin down.
Yeah.
So later they had to go through and try to match up the boobs with, like, the headshots. He's like, what about these girls? And so Malcolm McDowell's telling stories. All of a sudden he launches into Singing in the Rain, and he gets up and he's doing it. And to me, that's him doing his dishes are done.
Yeah.
Because I was so incredibly thrilled to see him do that. And I'm like, I wonder how many people ask him. I wonder how many people ask Joey to say, how you doing? And so I gladly, nobody leaves this place without singing the blues. I'm right on top of it, Rose. Dishes are done, man.
Is this something that's, do you do this as like kind of like, is it up? Business, or is it something you do when you feel like it? I don't really understand the world.
It's not about the money.
Yeah.
So you drive out yourself to some places. Yeah. There's sometimes you have costs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's no. It's about you. How was your show last night?
Mine?
Yeah.
It was great.
See, now that person-to-person touch where you see.
Yeah.
You know. 100 people, 500 people, whatever it is that are in the studio live or in an audience live watching you and talking to you before and after the show, it's that kind of, it really is the hustle that everybody has to do. And I think autograph conventions and comic cons and pop culture conventions, going and doing those and doing Q&As and doing panels and meeting fans face to face. And that is a great way to build and have people, you hand out slips with your online media. You know, your social media stuff, and keep them up to date, and they go and buy your stuff, and you work on those, that solid core of fans.
So merchandising, selling merchandise is that a new thing?
John Scalzi was talking about Nine Inch Nails and Scalzi had the same thing. He gives out a chapter of his book for free. If you like it, you can pay a buck or two, and I'll give you a digital download. If you really like it, you do $10, you get this in a monthly screen. If you pay this, I'll send you a signed hardcover copy. If you pay this, I'll send you everything I've ever written, all signed, inscribed in a nice set. Same with Nine Inch Nails. They released a track. Mm. They released a whole first, it was a three-sided album. So one side was free. If you like it, go ahead and pay the digital download. If they sold enough of the $150 steel-cased sets signed by Trent Reznor on the first day that paid for the entire cost of the recording sessions.
Wow.
And everything else under that, crazy, you could get an LP of it. You could get an actual, and you pay different accordingly, how you want to consume the media. And theaters are learning this. Netflix, everyone's learning. Some people want it in a theater. Okja got a great screening in theater. And so it's interesting, consumers really want a centralized place at home. They don't want to do Roku and a Netflix and an Amazon, and I got a Hulu too, and now I got to get the Disney one. Okay.
So is that part of how you make your living? I'm just trying to understand, like, there's merchandising. And
there is, and you got to pay your taxes.
Yeah.
You got to get a merchant's license. I have a California reseller's permit. And you pay it. And
I mean, conventions are it's a thing now where, like, conventions and meeting people, meet and greets and Q&As are like a standard, whereas maybe at some point, it was like, these Comic Cons when it first came out were just like a really niche thing, and now it's kind of extremely common and very marketable and very it's a huge business, it's great that people could make a living off themselves rather than just other people that have made a living off of you. I guess is I don't know from the I'm just calling from the YouTube world. You know what I mean? Because I go to a lot of conventions, or at least I used to.
A lot of performers will do meet and greets. You can pay an extra $75 after you watch, Linda Carter.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman sing her lounge act. And
then
you can pay a little extra, and you go behind, and she signs a poster, and you take some selfies. You talk to her for a couple minutes, and then security hustles you out of the room. And I think that kind of person-to-person, because everything is abstracted and on the screens and on your phones. And they've gotten further away. Even as the TVs have gotten bigger, People have turned to their phones so much to consume it.
You got to get on more. You got to get on more phones. We got to get you on more phones.
We'll do the U2 thing.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
You just it comes with the phone.
Yeah, you have to.
Why is Keith Coogan on my phone already?
Oh yeah. Well, it's free, so that's good. Well, is what's next just more of what you're doing, or is there something else? A hologram?
I'm promoting four projects that came out this year.
Let's hear it.
You've got one where I play a meth cook. Beautiful Garden. Fantastic. Winner, Cleveland International Film Festival. Filmed in Cleveland. And then we did Limelight. I play a gay, rapey talent agent. Based on a true story. So,
And where do we find those two?
Those are seeking distributors and things that have premiered at festivals and they're selling them. And then I got cut out of Last Tycoon, which was a really nice project to be cut out of. You know, my one line I had one line to deliver.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're focusing on the love, the romance, the lush settings. They don't need another piece of expository dialogue.
Sure.
So, but you see me and, there's my face. There's the side of my face. Oh, there I am in the background. Yeah. That's clearly me.
Yeah.
I got a nice credit. And they paid handsomely.
Yeah.
It was Amazon money.
Yeah,
I've never seen a budget like that.
Yeah.
Full-size makeup trailers to handle all of the black tux, tuxedo stuff and the women and their pin curls and all that crap. And then now I'm very excited about the upcoming Lifetime film, A Tale of Two Corys.
Okay. I'm assuming we're talking about Corey Haim and Feldman.
Yes. And this is my fourth project. Hopefully comes out this year, maybe early next year. We've shot it. It's done. And I do not play a good guy.
So it's a dramatization, or is it a
drama biopicization?
Okay, my wife will be very excited about that. Loves Lifetime based things, and of course I do too. And of course I want to see
you. Will know what it's like to grow up through Hollywood as one of the Corys.
Wow.
One of the two. Well, depending on who you identify with, I don't think you can be both Corys.
No.
You're a Haim or you're a Feldman.
Yeah.
And for those that are interested in what the environment was like, you asked me.
Yeah.
What was it like in L.A. and romping around town and everything? They're going to love this.
You think it's pretty accurate?
I think it's very accurate.
Yeah. Very exciting.
And I think it's going to be toned down because, you know, for legal reasons, you just cannot really show what it's really like.
Yeah. That's very exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
I know.
Very excited.
I'm excited. I moved into a new phase in my acting and how I am on a set. And I've let a lot of things go and learned that kind of no ego. Get out of the way. What does it need? What does the story need? What does the audience need right now?
Back to basics.
Yeah, totally. You don't have to feel it.
I'm not
a method actor.
Do you think meeting so many fans kind of changed, did it inflate or deflate your ego? I don't know what that does to a person. Meeting so many people, can I have your autograph, can I have your picture, does that change you at all?
I think that's a statement that you're not being factual about. With the number of people that you speak in front of, your audience, and I'm sure you connect with your audience because you see them at your shows, and you see them whenever you go or do a guest thing or anything like that. So I saw the Never Say Never Justin Bieber documentary.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I thought it was too. I saw it in the theater.
Scooter Braun is a genius.
Yeah.
So we used to think, but for anyone who's watched this, you know this now, but we used to think that, Scooter Braun just found him and Justin Bieber had like a million followers and da 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 da. No, he found him. They started going show to show and signing people up, go and follow, and to go to the YouTube video, like it, and follow it.
Yeah.
10 people at the first show, and then 20, and this. And they took a year to get up to that million, and they hustled it.
Yeah.
Then it was 1,000 people at a show, and he's playing malls and record stores and anything they can. So it's, what is that, the lot of hard work before the overnight success.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. You always think like, oh man, this person just shot out of nowhere. You know, they don't mention the 15 years or 10 or 5 or 20 years they had before that. But I guess that's what Wikipedia is for, and we can find that out. Where can we find you online? Where can we find all your stuff?
KeithCooganOnline.com.
And that's it, right? Is KeithCoogan.com already taken?
It was by this happy little Irish couple that has one page of them sitting on a lawn. It's one JPEG, and underneath it was like, here's our family page, Coogan's, and links off to some other site. And they're like, if you're interested in buying this, click here.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, thanks. Thanks, Coogan's. Good move.
Yeah. Maybe your relatives. But KeithCooganOnline.com.
And that's Twitter, leads to the Keith Coogan on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Instagram is Keith Coogan.
And, got those.
And I'm very open on my Facebook. It's public if you want to come to Facebook and follow me, Keith Coogan.
Yeah.
And I have room for 7 more friends. So
listen.
Let's see who those friends are going to be.
At least 8 people will see this. So somebody is going to will hear this. So one person might be disappointed, but get in while you can. Well, thank you so much. Except we're going to take a pic, and it'll be on my Instagram, which is instagram.com/thejasonhorton, and you can see this pic of us. Check it out.
You took a pic? Where?
No, we're going to take it.
Oh, okay, now.
Maybe I already
did.
It hasn't
happened. You're promoting something that hasn't even happened yet?
It's magic, the way I do things.
Hey there! We're here at your local Romantics and wanted to let you know that the shipments have arrived. And there are a ton of new items. The lingerie selection has expanded with many new styles that you'll love. Romantics also now offers adult remote toys with the latest smartphone technology, perfect for taking your date night to the next level. At Romantics, there is the largest selection of adult items in your area. There's a lot that's new at Romantics, and you've got to get in here to see it. Come on by. It's going to be a great night.
LA Care and Blue Shield Promise Health Plan Community Resource Centers want to help you stay active, healthy, and informed in your neighborhood or your local CRC. We offer classes, fitness, and social services assistance. Visit communitycenterla.org. Blue Shield of California Promise Health Plan is an independent licensee of the Blue Shield Association.
Kick off 90 years of racing at Santa Anita Park with opening day, with huge fields and pools on December 26th. Get on track for experiences like Beer Festival Trackside with live music, Whiskey in Winter in the Chandelier Room, and Winter Family Fun Zone in the infield. The Great Race Place is racing Friday through Sunday through June, with an action-packed event calendar and millions of payouts each race day. Choose your experience at santaanita.com/events. We'll see you at the races.
Ah, the most wonderful time of the year. Although, let's be honest, around the holidays, things really add up. But here's the good news. Only at Verizon, you can get a single line for $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So, while ice skating for two is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. Gifts for your third cousins? Steep. A single line with Verizon? Not so steep. A real tree? Pricey. A single line with Verizon? Less pricey. Flights to see Meemaw and Pops? Those are up. A $50 per month single line, that's down. Even a trip to the Los Angeles Holiday Market will cost you more. But with Verizon, you can switch and bring your phone for just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome, with auto pay plus taxes and fees. All this to say, during the holiday season, when everything is costing more, you can get more for less right now at a local Verizon store. $15 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.